I'd like to read first of all in Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. I'll start at the beginning of chapter 15, and all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." He spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it upon his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and the neighbours, saying to me, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep.' I say unto you that thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she lose one drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek carefully until she find it? And having found it, she calls together the friends and neighbours, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma which I had lost.' Thus I say unto you, there is joy before the angels of God for one repenting sinner." And then in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13, verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all whatever he had and brought it." Back to Luke's Gospel in chapter 13 and verse 6. "He spoke this parable: a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit upon it, and did not find any. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it also render the ground useless?' But he answering said to him, 'Sir, let it alone for this year also, till I shall dig about it and put dung, and if it shall bear fruit. But if not, after that thou shalt cut it down.'" And finally in John's Gospel in chapter 4, verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For also the Father seeks such as his worshippers. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." It's that scripture in John that's so well known that's caused me to read these passages, which, if they don't actually speak about seeking, that process is referred to in them. There is the shepherd who goes after the lost sheep, the woman who looks for her drachma. There is the merchant seeking goodly pearls. There is the husbandman seeking fruit on his fruit tree. And finally, God, Father, seeking worshippers. I suppose most of us anyway have been rather taken up with the story of those young men who were trapped in the cave. Someone had to go and find them, and they did. We thank God for that. But not everything, not in every case perhaps I should say, can men seek for something until they find it. Think of a man overboard at sea, and after so many hours they say he couldn't possibly have survived, and so they abandon the search. At some stage, that hunt for that aeroplane that went missing without any apparent reason will have to be completely abandoned. But in the Gospel, the beauty is that God in his love, and Jesus in his love for you, goes after what is lost until he finds it. I like to think of that. There is no giving up of that search. He goes after that sheep, and the woman goes after the drachma, sweeping that house so carefully until they find what they have lost. And it's such a lovely example of the way that God, in all his love, ensures that the search for me was never given up. The search for me was never given up. Maybe you can say for yourself that the search for you has never been given up. God made sure that the search went on until he found you. We think of the example of this shepherd. Having found that sheep, he puts it on his own shoulders and carries it home. I suppose those sheep were probably not huge, but some sheep are pretty large. And you think of the task of carrying a heavy sheep on your shoulders all the way home in the heat. And yet, that's a lovely explanation of the way the Saviour has gone after us until he found us and taken us home. And I think both these scriptures are lovely. Both the one with the shepherd and his sheep and the woman and her drachma. In the rejoicing when they bring the lost item home. That's very, very beautiful to me. The joy in heaven over one repenting sinner. Same today, we think of joy in heaven as one sinner repents, as one sinner trusts in the work of the Saviour at Calvary's tree, as one sinner is prepared to tell Jesus that I'm a sinner, I've done things that are against God, and I need a Saviour. I need a Saviour who's prepared to bear my sins in all his love and grace, and did so at Calvary 2,000 years ago. We think of the completed work of Christ there. Never need to be repeated. Never need to be updated. Never need to be modernized or anything. It stands for time and for eternity. We often say God is satisfied with the work of Jesus. The work has been done to his complete satisfaction. And the work is available to anyone who put their trust in the Saviour today. Him says, thousands have fled to his spear-pierced side. It's true. We think of, you hear reports of what's happening in other countries when people come to Christ. They're not just coming in ones and twos. They come all as individuals, but they're coming to Jesus and finding him. Men who have never heard the gospel before find there's no other message quite like it. Compares the love of God for his creature man. And they respond to the invitation of the gospel and find Jesus as their own precious Saviour. They cry out for material to teach them more about the Saviour, what he's done for them. They want books to read. They want teaching about this wonderful Saviour who's died to set them free. Well, there is the sheep, and then there is the woman, and then there is the question of this pearl. A merchant seeking beautiful pearls, but having found one pearl of great price. I think of that, dear friend, dear brethren. We think of the value of a pearl. Merchant one step removed from the actual man, perhaps, who collected that pearl. And a uniqueness of a pearl. I've no doubt that the pearl divers will take more and more risks to go and find something that's very, very unusual, something that's extra special, something that's very, very special. Well, this merchant's having heard about this pearl of great value, he went and sold all, whatever he had, and bought it. Just one pearl, and he sold everything else for it. It speaks to me of the love of Christ for the assembly, how he values the answer that he has collectively in the glad tidings as the assembly is formed. The converted were first called Christians in Antioch. And I rejoice in the formation of those early churches where God's people were brought together. Ignoring all the barriers of race and everything else, they are drawn together in their love of the Saviour. And that speaks to me of this one pearl. And it reminds me that my Saviour gave everything to secure that pearl for himself. The assembly. That vessel that's so precious to himself, the church. We read in Revelation of a day that's yet to come, when the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. What a day that will be when Jesus has an answer to his longings, all the longings of his heart, for someone who can really answer to him. And that day is still closer and closer and closer, when he will have that answer for himself. Well, I read about the fruit tree. I was thinking a bit about Phil White's address in Bromley and the way he challenged us as to the fullness of the glad tidings. Salvation from sins, very, very precious, vital, critical. It's cost my Saviour his life. But then another question is fruit bearing. Am I bearing fruit for my Saviour? Is there something for him from me? The man tells the vine dresser to cut it down. Why does it render the ground useless? But he answering says to him, let it alone for this year also, until I shall dig about it and put dung, and if it shall bear fruit. The vine dresser had in mind that this tree would bear fruit. I would like to raise the challenge first of all with myself as to what fruit there is for the Lord Jesus as a result of my being converted. Or has it changed nothing? Am I still the same? Still the same selfish person that I was as a man in the flesh? Or has the work of Jesus in my soul made a difference? Well, that's a challenge for me. And I think I'd like to leave the challenge, if I may, with each one of us as to fruitfulness, whether there is anything for the Lord from my life. Finally, I read in John Gospel chapter 4. As I said, this was the passage that led me to my subject this week, the question of bearing fruit and being a worshipper. The Father seeks such as his worshippers. God is a spirit, and the Father seeks such as his worshippers. God is looking for something from us. There's the question of fruit, perhaps. That might be a sort of an umbrella expression. What is there for Christ from my life? But then the Father seeketh worshippers. Something we can all join in, whether we are sisters or brothers, having part in worship, the adoration of Christ, the adoration of the Father, the occupation with him where he is. We perhaps, again I have to speak of myself, are puny in our appreciation of the greatness of what God is. We find how little we can say as we contemplate his greatness. We say we know something of his love, but I wonder how much we appreciate the greatness of his love, that our hearts may be really drawn out to him in worship and praise. Not just saying the right words, but concerned that there might be really something from me, even however simple, but from my heart as a result of what Jesus has done for me, that there might be something by way of worship going up to the Father. Well, I share the exercise with those that are here and ask that God may just work in each of our hearts, that there may be more for him as we think of what he has done for us. The God who spared not his own son, the work of Christ on Calvary, and the way that he's gone after those who are lost until he finds them. Never giving up, never giving up. The search goes on for souls. Even now, God is going after men, women and children, and he goes after them until he finds them. Whose name's it?
Amen.